away. I believe, as a single lady, you can get by very nicely on an income of about £60.
I could do with much less than that, Mr. Holmes. But you understand that as long as I live at home, I don't wish to be a burden to them. They draw the interest every quarter, and I manage very well on my typewriting. It brings me tuppence a sheet, and I can often do from 15 to 20 sheets in a day.
Oh, that's most commendable.
You have made your position very clear to me. Kindly tell us now about your connection with Mr. Hosmer Angel.
When Father was alive, we used to get tickets for the Gasfitters' Ball, and then afterwards they remembered us and sent them to Mother. But Mr. Windibank did not wish us to go. He never did wish us to go anywhere, and he would get quite mad if I wanted so much as to join a Sunday school treat. But this time I was set on going. Fortunately, the day before the ball, he went off to France upon the business of the firm. So Mother and I and Mr. Hardy, who used to be our foreman, we all went together. And it was there I met Mr. Hosmer Angel.
Good evening, Miss Sutherland.
Oh, good evening.
May I sit at your table?
Well, that is my mother.
Forgive me. I waited until she took the floor for the Viennese waltz. But you must be wondering who I am. My name is Angel. Hosmer Angel. I knew your late father. In the line of business, that is.
Really? Please, Mr. Angel, do sit down.
Thank you. I trust you will forgive my approaching you like this, but your father often talked about you. It was as if, well, as if I had already met you.
Oh.
Now I have. I feel I know you as a friend.
Oh, I cannot recall Father talking about you.
A father's prerogative.
I do not remember you coming to the house.
I would never have been so presumptuous, Miss Abbott.
But I would have been so pleased.
I am hardly what you would call a forward sort of person, not being particularly well favored, if you take my meaning.
But Mr. Angel,
I had the quimsy when I was a child, you see, and swollen glands. I'd never got over that properly. People are always surprised at the way I speak.
I think you have a very nice voice, Mr. Angel. Quiet and well spoken.
And my eyes, they are weak too. That's why I wear these tinted glasses against the glare.
Then we are two of a kind, Mr. Angel. I have to wear glasses, and though I can manage reasonably well on an occasion such as this, I am really quite short-sighted.
Oh, we do seem to be alike in that respect. Everyone seems to be enjoying themselves.
Yes.
I do beg your pardon.
But it was nothing. What were you going to say?
Well, I was wondering, that is, I was wondering if you would permit me...
Please continue, Mr. Angel.
...to call on you tomorrow evening.
Oh,
I thought perhaps we might go for the walk, if that would suit you.
Why, yes. I should be very pleased for you to call.
Shall we say 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock would be most convenient.
Let's settle that. I shall look forward to meeting you again, Miss Sutherland.
You're not going already.
If you would excuse me.
But I'm sure my mother would be most pleased to see you.
Tomorrow evening, perhaps.
Of course. I shall look forward to it.
Thank you. Good night, Miss Sutherland.
Good night, Mr. Angel.
Your mother rather recall this Mr. Angel?
Yes, she said she did remember him, and although she was disappointed at not seeing him on that occasion,